Is Christian persecution around the world really as bad as some people say it is? Dee Dee Loggison of Save the Persecuted Christians says absolutely yes. In this interview today, she shares some shocking statistics and facts about persecution around the world. And it's stuff the secular media isn't reporting on. So stay tuned, because you're going to want to hear this interview and learn how you can help.
The New Believer's Bible has equipped over 10 million new Christians as they started their journey with Jesus. Now, a new edition of the New Believer's Bible includes revised and expanded notes and features to help new Christians read, study, and understand the Bible so they can deepen their faith and build a foundation for their new life in Christ. The New Believer's Bible is now even better. Discover more at newbelieversbible.com.
Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Rose Spauto, online news director for Charisma Magazine. And you're tuning in to our series on persecution. And I know this isn't a super fun topic for a lot of us, perhaps, but it's actually really necessary. And I'm really excited because today I'm talking to Dee Dee Loggison. Dee Dee is actually the executive director of Save the Persecuted Christians, which she founded. Dee Dee, is that right? You founded this ministry, correct?
I was one of the founding members, yes. Save the Persecuted Christians is both a coalition and a grassroots. We have more than 200 members of our coalition. These are civil society leaders and faith leaders who, in their own way, provide for the specific needs of these persecuted Christian groups around the world. But together, we've come together to unite our voices and lift up our brothers and sisters around the world to raise awareness here in America, because the American church just really doesn't have the understanding they need to have about the more than 327 million Christians experiencing brutal persecution around the world. That's more than one for every man, woman, and child in the United States of America. In addition to raising awareness, we also work with government entities to change policy that may hold the persecutors accountable for their crimes against humanity. And in this way, we hope that we would help change their hearts and change their activities.
That's incredible. Can I just ask you, has Christian persecution been something that's always weighed on your heart? Or did something happen that just really opened up your eyes to what's going on?
I came to know a Maronite Catholic priest who was serving the refugees from Syria in Iraq, who were flowing into Lebanon during the Middle East ISIS crisis. And I just was really brought to an awareness of what is happening to Christians around the world through that. It was in introducing him to our president of Save the Persecuted Christians, Frank Gaffney, that we all came together and launched Save the Persecuted Christians in February of 2018. I've been fully involved ever since, and it's been like getting a master's degree in a very short period of time on what this subject entails. And now I'm connected with persecuted Christians all over the world. I have regular conversations with them via the amazing modern technologies that we have available to us. And it's something that is incredibly close to my heart.
Well, that's awesome. So in your time serving for Save the Persecuted Christians, what are some of the shocking facts about persecution that you've discovered that many of us don't even realize?
I think what happened in the Middle East, where these ancient Christian communities came under fire and have literally been, for the most part, exterminated in the Middle East. And that genocide continues to happen, even though the world believes that ISIS has been defeated. Unfortunately, they have not. They have reorganized and are growing in West Africa right now. The countries of the Sahel, Chad and Niger and Mali and Burkina Faso and Cameroon. They're all hard pressed. But what is happening in Nigeria right now is a full blown genocide of Christians. On a daily basis, our brothers and sisters there, who are among some of the world's poorest of the poor, are attacked. The Fulani militants will come in and surround their villages. They're armed to the teeth with AK-47s and machetes, and they burn down these villages. They slaughter anybody who takes to flight. And, you know, you see the most appalling images that come across my feed of little children, babies even in diapers, and old women who've been beheaded, and so much brutal violence that the Western media just refuses on, for the most part, to report on accurately. So we have a situation blowing up in Africa right now of the persecution of Christians that threatens to send massive refugee flows into Europe and elsewhere in the world. It really is a national security crisis for the United States of America as these Islamic groups, these radicals, continue to grow and feed on the resources. There's other areas of the world as well, India and Pakistan and China, where Christians are sorely tested, and it's just it's horrific what is happening to Christians.
Absolutely. And you said something that really stood out to me, that the secular media isn't really reporting on this, or they're not really reporting on it accurately. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that there has been, you know, a real multiculturalism, PC press to uplift the very groups that are responsible for at least 80% of the persecution of Christians. Unfortunately, those are Muslim extremists, and the Western media has simply developed a narrative that prefers to prioritize Muslims over Christians in that messaging, in that narrative that they feed out. And so to relay the facts of Christian persecution is to, in some way, bring a cast a dark shadow upon our Muslim brothers and sisters. Now, you know, Islam is a religion and an ideology. So in its ideology and its press for Sharia law, this is where Christians, seen as infidels, are subjected to incredible abuse around the world. Open Doors reports on an annual basis on Christian persecution, which is unfortunately rising in countries around the world. It's a record number of countries where Christians are experiencing this kind of brutal violence. And of the 50 countries where they report the heaviest persecution going on, the majority of those countries and the reason behind the persecution happens to be Islamic extremism.
And that does make a lot of sense, because there, yeah, it does. Now, I want to ask you, though, specifically about the coronavirus, because that's something that's on a lot of people's minds, and it's affecting almost basically the entire globe. Now, is the coronavirus affecting religious liberty that you're seeing?
Absolutely. We're seeing most specifically in Southeast Asia that already marginalized Christian communities and those who are they're very, very poor, and they don't have the same access in these countries to goods and services and freedom that others are experiencing. And when the lockdown went in place in India, they only had 4 hours notice that absolutely everything was going to be closed down in India. Prime Minister Modi is from the BJP party that rises up out of the RSS, And the RSS is a Hindutva extremist group. They would like to see India become a Hindu nation only. And so when the lockdown went in place, even the groceries were closed. So it created, and this happened all across Southeast Asia, people do not know about this, but migrants, workers, day laborers, everybody started fleeing from the cities back to their homes, wherever that may be. And they're traveling on foot hundreds of miles without access to food and water. What's also happening is in Pakistan, I was just on the phone with a gentleman there who serves slave laborers at brick farms and these Christian families who are supposed to go and receive their food rations that are being provided by the government. But when they show their identity card and it says they're Christians, the Muslim NGOs who've been put in charge of providing those rations are telling them that they can only receive their food if they convert to Islam first. And so you see this also in India, that the RSS extremist group has been put in charge of providing food to the 1.3 billion Indians, that they are denying aid to Christians. And so literally right now, and it just makes me tear up, there are tens of millions of Christians in Southeast Asia who are being starved to death. These groups, these state actors, they're taking this opportunity to exploit the COVID crisis to exterminate the groups that they disagree with, and most especially the Christians. We have brothers and sisters all over Southeast Asia, children, women, families at risk who are right now starving to death.
Oh my goodness, that's absolutely heartbreaking. And it's so hard to imagine that someone, that someone would be willing to do that to people who haven't done anything wrong. It just, I can't even fathom it. So in light of all of these horrible things that are going on, how can Christians respond? Those of us in the West who, you know, we're not going through those sorts of things, what can we do?
I think it's really important that Christians not just turn inward during this COVID crisis, but try to stretch outward and embrace a persecuted Christians in whatever way they're possible. They can come to SaveThePersecutedChristians.org and go to our About page, see the various groups that are part of our coalition who are providing direct aid to these persecuted Christians, and support them in any way that you can. And help support the work that we are doing here as well, because all together, standing together, with most especially with our thousands of grassroots individuals across the country who are telling the stories of persecuted Christians, sharing it with their families, helping them to come to know that, you know, it truly is Jesus himself nailed to the cross who is calling out to those Christians here in comfortable lands to connect with our brothers and sisters in the Church of Martyrdom and Witness around the world. We must engage at whatever level you can do it, whether it's going to our news aggregator at ChristianPersecutionNews.com and finding a story and getting to know somebody, you know, a personal story of somebody who is suffering directly, and telling that to your family and friends and sharing those stories out and about. And, you know, sometimes we'll have a call to action where you can come in right now. We're begging for a special envoy to be appointed to Nigeria and the Lake Chad region. So people can go to SaveThePersecutedChristians.org and you can send a letter directly to President Trump and your elected members of Congress to demand a special envoy be appointed so that we can directly address the genocide that's happening in that area. So become a member of the movement at SaveThePersecutedChristians.org and definitely support our organization and the other organizations in our coalition who are reaching to these Christians directly.
Fantastic. I love everything you just shared. It's so practical. So, Didi, I know we're basically out of time for today, but is there anything else about this topic that you really feel our listeners should hear today?
I think it's just important that we move from our comfortable space. We call ourselves Christians, but it is by our fruit that we are known to be the people of God, the holy ones of Christ. And so it's not enough to just say, I believe in Jesus, but to, like the Acts 2 church, to provide for those who are persecuted in the name of Jesus, and know that you are actively engaged in their suffering. And in this way, you are truly acting in the love of Christ.
Amen. I love everything you just said. Didi, would you mind closing us in prayer today?
Oh, Lord God Almighty, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, that we might share in your love and be a beacon of light and hope in the world, which is covered in so much darkness. In this time of great crisis, O Lord, you call us to remember what is important and who you are, and to trust that you are providing for our every need. This time has always been coming, but in your goodness and your glory, you have provided for us your Son, Jesus. We pray in his name that all the world may bow and profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.
Amen. Didi, thank you so much for sharing today. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Jenny. It's really great. God bless.
Wonderful.
You.
Well, listeners, God bless you too. Listeners, be sure to tune in next time to the Charisma News Podcast for more updates on Christian persecution around the world.